The Good and the Bad from SHOT Show 2019, this week on Mail Call Mondays. I'm John McQuaid with 8541 Tactical, and this is Mail Call Mondays, the show that answers your questions about precision rifles, optics, and equipment. Welcome to another Mail Call Mondays, and this is going to be a short one because we are still rolling out the SHOT Show 2019 videos, but I wanted to take a minute and get a Mail Call Mondays episode out to you guys and talk about one of the biggest questions that we've gotten recently, which was, what was the best and what was the worst from SHOT Show? Now, it's really difficult for me to actually divide things up and say what was the best product out there that we saw and what was the worst, because there's kind of a spectrum. But I want to talk about one good one that I'm really interested in, and then I want to talk about one that I really can't figure out, that I'm still scratching my head about. So first of all, let's talk about the good one. And the good one comes from American Rifle Company, and it's their new Archimedes Action. Now, the Archimedes is the next generation of actions, and I know we just talked to you last year about the Nucleus Action. A lot of you guys have just had enough time to get your Nucleus in, get it built into a rifle, and get out shooting it, and now you hear American Rifle is bringing out the Archimedes Action. So I think a lot of you are wondering, hey, you know, what's going on here? Well, the Archimedes Action has a lot of the same design cues that went into the Nucleus Action, with one big difference. And this is really the marquee feature of the Archimedes and why it has come out right on the heels of the Nucleus. The Archimedes Action uses a very novel extraction system. And we got a chance to go in the booth and sit and take a look at how it worked out and talk to Ted, who is the chief designer at American Rifle Company, and really see how he came up with this design. And it is a really, really novel design. Basically, what has happened is they moved the primary extraction on the cartridge from the little ramp that you normally get on Remington clone receivers down to the bolt handle lever. So let me explain that in a little bit more detail. On a Remington 700 receiver, if you look, when you lift the charging handle, where the charging handle actually makes contact with the back of the receiver, there are two opposing ramps, one on the bottom of the charging handle and one on the receiver. And when those ramps make contact, that last couple of degrees, when you pop that bolt handle up, those ramps bear against each other and it drives the bolt back. And that is what breaks the tension of the cartridge inside the chamber wall. So that is what actually starts the extraction of the cartridge. That's what's called your primary extraction cam. Once you get that primary extraction started, then your arm pulling the bolt handle back is what completes the extraction. Well, the problem that you run into, and this is explained even better by Ted in our video, so make sure you check that out. The problem that you run into is if you get a stuck case, if you get overpressure, if you get water in the chamber, grit, dirt, something that makes it more difficult for that cartridge to come out, then when you lift the bolt handle and you hit that primary extraction cam, the bolt will stop. And very often you have to smack the bolt handle up in order to get that last couple of degrees to get the bolt to fully unlock and start to extract. This is problematic because you have a small footprint on the bipod, and when you're trying to rotate it over, the rifle wants to turn and fall over with the bolt handle. So that causes a little bit of a problem. It's where you see guys flipping the rifle over and kicking the bolt handle on really badly stuck cases, and it's not the quickest way or easiest way to get the cartridge case out. So Ted looked at this problem and went back in and designed a lever-based system, hence the name Archimedes. And the lever-based system uses a pivoting bolt handle. So the bolt handle, once you unlock the bolt, when you go to pull back on the bolt handle will pivot against a feature inside the receiver, and it will act like a pry bar, basically, to pull that bolt body back and start that primary extraction. This is interesting because now, instead of lifting or rotating being the energy that unlocks and extracts the cartridge. It is pulling back. And as Ted demonstrated in the booth, you can get a lot more pressure when you're pulling back because you're pulling back against a buttstock that is locked in your shoulder. So especially when you invert your hand and you're pulling back towards you, you have a good deal of strength. And if you have a really, really hard stuck case, obviously you can come over and use both hands and pull back, and you're pulling back against your body. Or, you know, worst case, buttstock on the ground and pushing down, and now you're using your weight to pry that open. Ted explained that they are getting so much force with this lever extraction system in the Archimedes action that the amount of pressure that you can apply to the cartridge is only limited by the structural integrity of the rim of the cartridge. So when you start ripping or shearing off the rim of the cartridge, that is the limit of the pressure that you're able to apply to get it out of the chamber. And they demonstrated this by hammering a cartridge into a barrel, an oversized case into a barrel, screwing the barrel on the action until the extractor engaged, and then pulling on that case to extract it. And they ended up ripping out chunks of the rim to extract the case. So that tells you it is providing a ton of force. The extractor is not skipping over the rim or dropping it or releasing it. It is hanging on for dear life until that case reaches failure. The price point on the action is in the same price range as the Mousing Field and the Nucleus. They will be shipping, I believe they said, in May. The pre-order is already over. There was a special price that you could get towards the end of January on it, but the price has gone back up, I believe, to regular retail price right now. But even at regular retail price, this looks like it's going to be a really, really awesome receiver. I haven't quite yet decided if we're going to try to get a hold of one because we have quite a few other projects in the works. But just the engineering that went into it is pretty amazing. And if you ever get the chance to talk to Ted, Ted is a brilliant guy. Listening to him talk and seeing how excited he is about the technology and these ideas and that, it's just really infectious. It's amazing. You can't help but smile when you talk to him or you listen to him go through his ideology behind these designs. So definitely take a look at the video we did with him, and we will leave a link down in the comments below or down in the description below, and also a little call out tag up above so you can click it and check that video out. Now we'll kind of roll into what was the low point for me, or the one that we went to, the booth that we went to, and really came away scratching my head. Now, that was the US Optics booth, and US Optics has gone through some changes, some acquisitions, some moves, so they have some different things going on there. There was a pretty considerable turnover in people at USO. A lot of the people that I knew and dealt with under the previous location, they have gone. So it was kind of walking into a new situation for us. And I was interested to see what the products were, what was new coming out for 2019, hopefully to set the stage for a new and improved US Optics. US Optics has had some problems in the past with quality, some QC things that really should not have slipped out the door that did. So I'm hoping that going forward, US Optics can reclaim that reliability, reclaim that premium name that they had ages ago. Now, I am far from a US Optics hater. I have several US Optics scopes. In fact, I think our count is 4 at this point. We've got the US Optics 10X, which is the old Unertl 10X redesign. I have an SN3 that has been through several sniper schools and banged around, drug across the ground. It was on my working sniper rifle for a while. We have a LR17, and then we have the B17 that is sitting here in front of me. So I'm far from a US Optics hater. I want to see their company succeed, but I have some problems relying on US Optics scopes, and I have some issues recommending recommending US Optics scopes to people because there is a really good chance that there's going to be a quality issue and the scope is going to have to go back. Now, US Optics will take care of their scopes, at least under the old company. They would take care of them. There was no issue getting the scope serviced and getting it back. But the problem is, at this price point, you should not have to send the scope back for some of the issues that scopes were going back for. Tracking problems, debris in the reticle, that kind of stuff. That just should not happen. We are hard on gear as precision rifle competition shooters, LE snipers, military snipers, etc. We bang these things up. We don't treat them with kit gloves. They end up rashed up, banged into barricades, smacked into concrete culverts, all that stuff. So I understand that occasionally you will break things on optics. Even the highest level scopes, you will break stuff if you really push them to the limit. So that I'm not upset about. If you break something, send it back in, get it fixed, get it back into service, and drive on. If you're a high-level competition shooter, you have spare scopes, you have spare rigs, because you know you will break stuff. But at the price point that these scopes are at, problems out of the box should be at a minimum. It should be very rare that you hear about a lemon, but that has not been the case. Again, prior to their move. So I really wanted to see what they had going on. And so we rolled into the booth and just the questions kept on coming. The first thing that we were introduced to is their new TK turret. Now, I don't know where they're getting TK from. TK, according to the rep, stands for tactical knob. Tactical to me means professional law enforcement, professional military snipers, or tactical rifle shooters. So PRS type, NRL type, that kind of stuff, where you are shooting on the clock, you're moving fast, you have moving targets, multiple target engagements, you're doing a lot of dialing, a lot of target transitions. That is what I think of when you tell me that it is a tactical piece, that it is designed with that purpose in mind. So when they told me that these are TK turrets, it is a tactical knob, immediately I start thinking, okay, it is a precision rifle competition or a sniper rifle type setup. Well, immediately when I looked at it and then they started describing it to me, it does not fit the bill for there. Now, what this turret is a two-tiered design, which is not abnormal. It's been done before. But the format that they decided for on this was a 1 mil per click, a full mil radian per click for the primary turret. So the bottom turret, every time you click that thing, your reticle is going to move 1 full mil. Then the top turret is a 1/20th of a mil click. So you would have to turn through 20 clicks to get 1 mil of elevation. If you just want 1/10, you've got to click that thing twice to come up 1/10. So understandably, to get on a target quickly, what you're going to have to do is get down behind this, locate your target, grab the turret. Say you wanted 3.5 mils of elevation to put the center of your crosshair on that target and engage. You're going to have to grab the primary turret. You're going to have to click that thing 3 times. Then you're going to have to come up to the secondary turret, and then you're going to have to click that thing 10 times to get your 0.5. That baffles me, because that really is not any quicker than grabbing a standard 1/10th mil turret and just ripping it to 3 and then doing your 5 clicks afterwards and getting on. 1/10th mil click turrets are fairly fast once you get used to them, and once you get used to about how far you're turning to get about how many clicks. I even like older 5 mil per turn because their clicks are further apart and they're really more distinct. And if you need to fine tune while you're looking through the glass, you really have a nice tactile feel to them. So this turret most certainly is not designed for competition or sniper applications. So I asked them, I said, what really is this designed for? They first said hunters which I don't know any hunters that are really going to dig this kind of setup. A lot of hunters I know are just using holdovers, and very rarely are they really desiring the precision that 1/20th of a mil clicks are going to give you to be able to hit the bread box on an animal and take it down. So then the next thing was ELR shooters. The limited elevation in that scope is not going to appeal to ELR shooters. That just really isn't going to work well for that application. So maybe there's something I'm missing. I really want to hear from you guys. We'll leave a link to the US Optics video so you can check out what they had to say on it. And leave a comment down below and tell me where you think this scope fits in. Is it something you're interested in? Is it something I'm missing? Now, that is the TK turret. They did have a standard knob also available, so the B-17 and the B-25s will be available, and they're not classified as the B-17. If you wanted the tactical knob, it would be the TK-17 or TK-25. The other knob has a different designation. So they are both available. And the really interesting thing is you can order the scope with the standard knob, and then you can reconfigure it with the TK later on if you desire to do so. So it's somewhat upgradable. But those are the US Optics Premier line. I'm not really sure who they were designed for. Luckily, if you still like US Optics scopes and you still want to shoot them, you still can get the standard EREC type elevation turret, which would be my that would be my choice going into it. The B-17 that we have in front of me, it has their locking fast adjust EREC knob on it. It's worked fairly well on the Ma-10, so I don't have a whole lot of complaints on it. We still haven't done a full tracking test on it because it's got an H-59 reticle in it, and most of the time I'm using this system, I'm just holding over because it is a fast shooting gun. But, you know, I want to see US Optics succeed, but I'm not sure this was the design standpoint. Now, they also did have a new reticle inspired by Jake Vibbert, who is one of their factory shooters. So that was one of the things out there, although we didn't cover it. We didn't talk a whole lot about it. I was just so dumbfounded about the turrets and some of the other decisions that they're making that we didn't even go into that. So I apologize for that from you guys. Now, the other side of it is US Optics now is starting an import line. And this is definitely going to bring out love and hate all across the internet and all across the shooting community. But the interesting thing is they are not bringing out import line in the precision rifle scopes, at least none that they talked about when we spoke with them. They are lower magnification variable scopes that really are more suited to AR-15s or more suited to three-gun competition, that kind of stuff. So they are made in the Philippines, they are imported, and they are quality control checked in the new US Optics facility here in the US. So every scope that comes in is still QC'd in-house before they send it out, and they are covered by a lifetime warranty. Now, these are much lower price point scopes than the Premier US-made line, but they are also really not something that's going to appeal to a precision rifle shooter. So I don't understand how that is going to attract new customers into the high-end US Optics line. Now, of course, they also showed a new mini red dot sight. Same thing, made in the Philippines, QC'd here. I don't know. I have no idea where that fits. I don't know why guys would choose that optic instead of a Vortex Viper, Vortex Razor dot sight for a competition gun. And I definitely don't understand why someone would choose that instead of an RMR or a Delta Point Pro or a Sig Romeo 1T for a duty pistol or a concealed carry weapon. So we're just kind of in this limbo where I'm not sure where US Optics is headed, and I'm not sure why they're making some of the decisions that they're making. Maybe we can get with them later in the year and try to do a more detailed sit-down. Their facility is a little bit closer to us now, so that may be a possibility for later in this year. We'll see how things go. But I'm just kind of really baffled about that whole deal. If I am totally missing the mark, if you guys think I am way out in left field, I really want to hear about it. So please go ahead and drop me a comment down below and tell me why I am totally off base. Now, SHOT Show aside, there was a bunch of other stuff that we checked out there. We are rolling out the videos. I think we came out with probably about 10 or 15 videos that will be hopefully finished up by the end of this week. They're quick videos for me to knock out, but we did have some technical difficulties on day one. We had a mic pack go down. We had some video format issues, and I was attempting to shoot on the Panasonic GH5 and edit on my iPad. And I really dropped the ball on it and screwed up our video format on everything that we shot on the first day. And it was not video that the iPad would ingest. It's some kind of Apple codec issue that I couldn't bring it into that. I had to wait until I got back here and got on the big 5K iMac, which will eat through any of the video formats that we record in. So the day one videos had to get held, and I am starting to knock those out now. Videos throughout the rest of the week, days 2 through 4, those I'm editing on the iPad, knocking them out really quick, getting them uploaded and out to you guys. So hopefully keep an eye on the channel and we will continue to have those pop up. And of course, make sure you hit the subscription button and click the little bell next to it. That way you guys know when we pop those new videos up, because they will be throughout the week, probably through the weekend as well. And hopefully we will be able to get off our butts and get you an on-time mail call Mondays this coming Monday. Now, pushing the SHOT Show stuff off to the side, one of the other reasons that we are still slow in getting these SHOT Show videos out is as soon as I came back, I had about 2 days to sleep in my own bed, and then I turned around and went out to the SIG Academy up in Epping, New Hampshire for the Pistol Mounted Red Dot Instructor Course. This was a two-day course at the SIG Academy facility, and this is my first time being up at SIG Academy, and it's absolutely a fantastic facility. We are going to do a separate video talking about the Red Dot Instructor Course, because I realize some of you precision rifle guys really don't care about that, but a lot of you guys that watch us for the handgun, carbine, and the fast shooting content as well may want to check that out. But SIG Academy also does rifle stuff. They also have some more precision rifle-oriented packages, which hopefully I will get a chance to check out either later this year or next year. But their facility is top-notch. Every SIG Academy instructor that I've run into has been incredibly knowledgeable, incredibly welcoming, and they have a very good attitude. Very often in the gun industry, you will run across instructors that believe that their way is the only way, and then when you question them on why a certain technique is the way that they think you should do it, they don't really have an answer. Well, the SIG Academy instructors are the polar opposite. Not only will they have an answer on why they recommend a certain technique and why they believe that technique works better than other techniques or works alongside other techniques, but they will not generally take the attitude that their technique is the only technique. I didn't run into a single situation here where I heard an instructor say, no, you can't do that, you have to do it this way. They would present techniques to you. They would tell you why they're presenting the techniques to you. They would give you a chance to observe them execute the techniques. You get a chance to demo them, practice them, go through them. And then they were more than happy to discuss your experiences on that technique and how it compares to other experiences you've had. So it is a really nice, refreshing way to interact with instructors. I've always tried to take the stance that I'm constantly learning, so if I present something from a student and they have a better way to do it, I am more than ready to learn from them. So if they present a better way of doing it and I truly believe it's better, I'm more than likely going to adopt that going forward. Now, they may present something to me that I don't believe is better, but at least I've looked at it, I've evaluated it, and then I see where it lies in the tier of techniques. So it was really a nice atmosphere. It was really, since this was an instructor level course and everyone that was there are professional shooters, meaning either they are law enforcement instructors, they're private sector instructors, but they are well beyond the entry-level students. So we didn't really have any problems. The class ran smoothly. We played by big boy rules, which meant you were responsible for keeping your gun topped off, you were responsible for changing magazines and keeping your gun loaded, and you were responsible for not pointing your weapon in any direction that was unsafe. So again, also really refreshing. Not to have to deal with the safety Nazi stuff, being able to just be in a learning environment, go through, do what you need to do, ask questions, learn new techniques, and expand your horizons. So I had a ton of fun there. The facilities were incredibly clean, very well lit, very professional. We had the SIG Pro Shop there, which sucked up quite a few of my dollars while I was there because they have supplies for you. They have magazines. You don't even need to bring ammunition or a handgun to this course because SIG Academy will sell you ammunition there. And they will provide red dot equipped P320s and the appropriate holsters and magazines to support the gun there. So that was really nice to see. So if you're a firearms instructor at your department and you want to see if red dots are something that your department wants to look to go to, because more and more are going to it for their patrol officers, then this is a great course that won't require you to invest in a red dot equipped handgun. You can just show up, borrow one, take the course, and see how well it worked. Also, SIG makes the Romeo 1, Romeo 1T, and soon to be released the Romeo 2 optics. So they do have a factory-supported optic, but they took pains not to make this a sales pitch. There was no part of the class where they were discussing one optic versus another optic versus another optic, unless a student specifically asked. So they are not pushing a specific brand. If you showed up to the SIG Academy pistol-mounted red dot instructors course with a Glock with an RMR on it, they're not going to say anything. You're going to roll through, you're going to be able to take the course, and you're going to be good to go. So don't think that because you don't have a SIG that you can't take the course. So that's about all I'm going to say about it in this video. We will go through that a lot more in a separate video, and I'll talk about the equipment I used and the handgun that I shot at that course. So if you have any questions about it, then go ahead and throw those down below so I can roll them into that video. So that's it for this Mail Call Mondays. If you guys have any questions or comments over anything we've covered, please put them in the comments section down below. If you're listening to us on your favorite podcast app, you can send questions to us at 8541tactical@gmail.com. If you like the video, please make sure you like, share, and subscribe, and click that little bell icon down there to be notified about new videos. If you are supporting us on Patreon, thank you very much. If you want to know more about how to support the videos that you know and love, click the Patreon link down below and it will take you to our Patreon page where we sometimes post some exclusive content for our patrons only. Until next time, get out and shoot.